Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the meeting of the Devonport City Council. It is Tuesday the 29th of January and it is now 5:30. The Council acknowledges and pays respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land. All persons in attendance are advised that it's Council policy to record Council meetings in accordance with Council's audio recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on Council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant Council officer and advise of their wishes. We have everyone present, so there are no apologies. Item 2.0, do I have any declarations of interest for any item on this agenda? Councillor Jarman?
Item 3.4.1.
Thank you. Anyone else? No? Item 3.1.1, minutes of the Council meeting held on the 17th of December. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
I move.
Thank you. Councillor Perry, seconder.
Second.
Councillor Jarman. Councillor Perry.
Accurate as compiled, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman.
It's all there, thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 3.2 is public question time. Item 3.2.1, we have responses to questions raised at prior meetings. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please? Thank you. Councillor Laycock, do I have a seconder?
So seconded.
Councillor Murphy, thank you. Councillor Laycock?
Nothing to add.
Councillor Murphy?
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2.2, questions on notice from the public. We have some questions and the proposed responses. Can I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Thank you. Councillor Perry, do I have a seconder?
Second.
Councillor Innes? Councillor Perry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, certainly endorse the responses put together by the General Manager and his team, and trust the other councillors do as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Innes? Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Murphy, you have your light on? No? Thank you. Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. We now come to questions without notice from the public. The opportunity for any members of the gallery who might like to ask a question to step up to the microphone with their name and address and ask their question, please.
Well, good evening and thank you very much. Wendy Hilditch, 41 Murray Street, East Devonport. I speak tonight in reference to the written response I received from Council on the 20th of December 2018 concerning 26 North Caroline Street, East Devonport. I would like to know the following. Where did the Council receive recent legal advice that rebuts Section 12 of the current State Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, re-existing uses and developments? And can the Council please provide me with a copy of such advisements?
As you're asking for a copy, Ms Hilditch, we will respond in writing.
Thank you very much. Now, if I could have a second question, I'd appreciate it.
You may.
Thank you. My question, the second question... They're Popeye's glasses, he'll kill me. The second question I'm asking is referring to backpackers' accommodation. Could I be advised as to the requirements of backpackers' accommodation? And the reason I'm asking is because we have a massive amount of backpackers now residing in the East Devonport area, probably all over Devonport, particularly in the East Devonport area, because of Costas with their fruit. I spoke to somebody at the council some times ago with regards to this. They said that homeowners can have backpackers living in their property. If the owner lives in the property, they're then referred to as boarders, which I could understand. However, there are a number of places in East Devonport where the actual owners do not reside. I have one immediately opposite me in Murray Street where there are currently 20 backpackers living in a two-bedroom home.
So your question, Ms.
My question will be, could you advise me of the law pertaining to whether or not houses should be have a specific zoning for a backpackers, mainly because of, say, health reasons and security reasons?
Thank you. I might ask Ms. Milne from our planning department if she has can respond. Sure. Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor. So there are a variety of methods that people can use to use their home as visitor accommodation. There are a few around at the moment that don't require any permits. And there's no legislation to say how many people can reside in a house. So it could be that you have a four-bedroom house and you can use that for visitor accommodation. And normally you might have, say, eight people staying, but there's no legislation to put a top limit on that.
So the owner of the house needn't live in that house?
No.
So therefore it doesn't require, because that doesn't require any legal zonings or anything?
You know, it can happen in the general residential zone.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hilditch. Mr.
My name is Henrietta Porter. I live at 24 Roberts Court, Devonport. March last year, I sent a letter to the council and asked them about having somebody mow the nature strip out the front of my place because I cannot do it anymore. I've done it for 15 years and my spine has gone on me and I cannot do it again. And I was told on Friday that I would have to pay somebody to have it done. And I'm not going to pay anyone because it is not my property. I had my yard cemented in, so as I didn't have that to mow, so I'm not going to mow the nature strip.
So your question, Mrs. Porter?
I want somebody to mow the council to get somebody to mow the nature strip.
Still not quite a question, but I might ask the General Manager if he might respond. Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor. The process is that Council does have a policy in relation to this matter, and in fact Council will maintain nature strips, but only when they get to the stage that they have got to a length of greater than around about 300 mil. So usually what will happen is those nature strips would be mowed once or twice per year. They are not mowed on a regular basis and kept in a normal, pristine lawn state.
So that means to say that I've been mowing it for 15 years and I haven't had to for only twice a year.
If that would be your, if that was your preference, obviously most people prefer to.
Well, I didn't know that I didn't have to mow it because I used to live in a townhouse in Sydney. And I came over here and everybody else was mowing there, so I just automatically mowed mine.
That's what people do.
But if I'd have known that, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have done it. I'd have let the council do it.
We have provided an answer. If it doesn't get mowed in the general course of keeping things safe and I guess fire risk and those sorts of things, we would mow a couple of times a year, the similar to the way we mow some of our outlying areas.
Well, I can't mow my yard, so I'm not mowing the council.
Thank you. Mr. Janney.
Thank you, Mayor Rockliffe. My name's Douglas Janney, 23 Watkinson Street, Devonport. Last Saturday at 7:20 a.m, Wright Street East Devonport was blocked and traffic could not proceed north or south due to the spirit traffic from the lights at Murray and Tarleton Streets along Murray Street to the entrance of the spirit marshalling area. I could not travel south along Wright Street when I arrived at at the roundabout. On a previous occasion, travelling north along Wright Street, I was held up at the roundabout for the same sort of blockage. The question is, when is it anticipated that the roundabout road markings will be in place so that the blockages on Wright Street do not occur?
I'm certainly aware that we are in discussions with Tasports around the TT line around some solutions. I'm not sure whether the General Manager can shed any light on that issue at this point.
Through you, Madam Mayor, those discussions are ongoing, but I think Mr. Jenny's question was about line marking in particular at the roundabout.
Yep, keep clear.
Yep.
You know?
And certainly in relation to that, I'll follow that up and provide a response to you in writing.
Thank you. Second question. On Monday the 21st of January, a truck with a 6 metre container on the truck tray travelling west in the treed section of Stewart Street bashed the trees, foliage on both sides of the container. When is it anticipated that trees on both the east and west roads will be trimmed back?
I have to take that on notice, Mr. Janney. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Rodney Russell, 225 Steel Street, Devonport. What is the final date for warranty / maintenance on the Parranapple Centre?
I'll ask the General Manager if he has...
Through you, Madam Mayor, there is a process where any building of this nature has a defects period. My recollection is it was a 12-month period, which would take it through till around the end of August 2019.
Thank you.
Did you have a second question, Mr. Russell?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
It would be good to see the Queen Mary Rest Park return to council control for public use until such time as the developer is again able to continue work. Question: what can the council do to enable this to happen?
We'll ask the General Manager. I think he's got an answer for that one.
Through you, Madam Mayor. As a result of that question being raised previously, we've certainly contacted Crown Land, who are the owners of the land, and expressed our concerns, the same as the concerns have been raised here by the community about the state that piece of land is being kept. We sent photos and... further discussion with Crown Land is that they don't have any concerns at this stage, and the licence that they entered into will continue till the expiration date, which initially my understanding was around about 12 months from when it began. So it's probably due in the next 6 weeks or so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Russell.
Right, Trevor Smith, 7 Glen Court, Devonport. I wish to submit this question. I went to the council office at the Parranapple Centre on the 22nd of the 1st, 2019, to make a complaint about tall grass well over a metre tall at 33 Donna Drive. I also rang a week before this date to report this issue on council-owned land, which is the flood basin. The adjoining residences also made complaints to deaf ears. Why has this issue not been addressed sooner? Is it due to funding monies to have the job done, or something else? As a ratepayer of the living city, I find it very slack of the council to not take action from repeated requests. Thank you. With reference to file number 35187, to replace the rusty flaking cable supporting the air ducts in place over the whole indoor pool complex with G316 stainless steel cables. Your reply was council is aware of the issues with the cables and is currently in the process of seeking quotations for the replacement as part of the routine ongoing maintenance of the facility. With the cables in such a dire condition and looking at the council tenders in the local media since December, can you give me a date when this tender process is going to happen? Within the next month, this issue should be done as soon as possible, as you have a duty of care to the ratepayers and visitors that use this facility. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Malcolm Garden, 4 Beaumont Drive. Question one, and this is in relation to the scope and cost for fit-outs to Providore Place tenants, the council has advised. Fit-out and determination of the allocation to the tenancies is the responsibility of the head leasee, Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited, and the arrangements entered into for the amount paid as lease incentives to individual tenancies are confidential between Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited and their sub-leasee. As previously advised, the food pavilion project will need modifications to suit the nature and requirements of the tenancies to cater for previously unknown requirements. This work has been completed in conjunction with the fit-out works and has not been separately itemised from a costing perspective. Clearly, we're being told that there are works to accommodate tenant-specific requirements that have not been separately itemised from a costing perspective. How can there now be previously unknown requirements after having years to plan the fit-outs of these supposedly secured tenants is very concerning in relation to the project's management. Accordingly, who is accountable to council regarding proper oversight, management, scoping of the work, of the actual works, and cost approvals for each of the base build and fit for purpose construction phases of Providore Place tenancies involving the expenditure of taxpayer and ratepayer funds?
Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor, ultimately I'm responsible.
Did you have a second question, Mr. Gardam?
You don't want to tell us who's hands on, please, the supplementary to that? I mean, you do it all.
Mr. West is our general manager and he is ultimately responsible for all of our financial reports to...
And recommendations to council.
Thank you, Mr. Garnham. Did you have a second question?
Second question. Were councils aware that the $850,000 provisional sum was for lease incentive payments including equipment and fixtures? And are the individual tenant lease incentive payments as described by council currently disclosed as being $651,899 as at the 24th of December 2018, plus the undisclosed cost to the tenant-specific requirements incorporated into the base build, separately approved by the councillors in closed sessions?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the answer to that question is no. They are approved through the normal process through council management.
Thank you. Foreshadow a third question.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mayor. Bob Villacott, 11 Cocker Place, Devonport. Mayor, I refer to my questions without notice asked at the Governance and Finance Community Service Committee meeting on the 21st of January 2019 and the responses in the agenda for tonight. That's on reference page 146. The questions were in regard to the proposed demolition of the former Harris Scarf building without tenders being sought for the work and the financial arrangements made to carry out the work. Response: the general manager advised the demolition of the building is part of the contract that council has entered into with Fairbrother in relation to their purchase of part of that area of land, about half, which the building is actually situated on, with the balance on council land. Therefore, as part of the discussions and negotiations between council and Fairbrother, the demolition of the building was included as part of that process. In regard to the financial arrangements, the general manager advised in words to the effect that they were dealt with in closed session of council and information is not available at this time. However, the information relating to the land transaction will be made public at the appropriate time and also in the council's annual report. My question is simply, when will be the appropriate time to reveal the information of the land transaction for the hotel site and details of the agreement with Fairbrother about the demolition and financial arrangements? Also, can you give me the relevant section of the Local Government Act that states why you cannot give this information at this time and what penalty would be imposed if the information pertaining to the above was disclosed now to ratepayers?
I can answer the first part, which was when council, as council decides, it will be released. Other than that, it will certainly be in the annual report. As to penalty, the general manager?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the process is that presently there has been no decision by council to release that information. It was dealt with in closed session, and there are significant penalties under the Local Government Act, but primarily it's considered to be an offence, and therefore it would require the matter being referred to through a magistrate's court, and the penalties, from memory, I think, are 50 penalty units, which is somewhere in the vicinity of $5,000 or $10,000 as a fine, maximum, of course. So that's the process until council determines otherwise. The matter has been dealt with in closed session and cannot be released.
Did you have a second question, Mr. Bell?
I can't have a clarification.
I think we've clarified that fairly clearly. Did you have a second question?
Yes, I have another question. Mayor, I refer to the Advocate report of January the 9th, 2019, in regard to release of information given that Council secretly gave the rent reprieve to Providore Place Proprietary Limited of $250,000 just weeks prior to the election, Council election. It is my opinion, if the report was factual, then it was deceitful and orchestrated by those seeking re-election who voted for it to ensure that they did not have to disclose to electors the fact that $250,000 rent reprieve had been given.
I beg your pardon? Be very careful with your wording. Be very careful with your wording. Did you have a question?
I said it is in my opinion. This denied ratepayers, pardon me.
Mr. Bellicott, your time's up.
Will you try and stop bullying me, Mayor?
Mr. Bellicott, your time's up. Thank you. You may come back for a third question if we don't run out of time. Thank you. Were there any other questions? Mr. Smith.
Right. Why did the council have to spend ratepayers' valuable money on doing alterations to the pedestrian island at the front of Woolworths Best Street entrance? These works weren't necessary as there is a no right turn at the exit from Woolworths car park, Best Street. Are you trying to change the road rules? If so, take it away fully for the drivers who want to turn right.
I guess the answer to that would be no, we're not changing the road rules. It's obviously a safety issue. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Gardam, did you have a third question?
Question three. Noting that the projected Living City Stage 1 revenue streams, if achieved, do not currently meet loan interest payments, and with reference to the Living City Stage 1 operational budget inclusions detailed on page 37 of the June 2018 meeting agenda, will Council please name the specific commercial arrangements that contribute to the stated rental value of $1,128,500 for the 2018-19 financial year. And I've got a note here to that, that individual rental amounts are not requested, just the naming of the enterprises that net rent gains are being derived from, while acknowledging that the projected new multi-purpose, multi-level car park revenue has been identified separately as $303,200, which is reduced from the initial stage one funding model budgeted net car revenue of $987,000 on page 15, and previously confirmed by the Deputy General Manager as being reliant on all parking revenue at that time, despite stating on page 3 that it assesses the project in its own right to ensure the proposed works are viable and sustainable from a funding perspective without relying on income from Council's existing revenue streams. So I repeat the question. Will Council please name the specific commercial arrangements that contribute to the stated rental value of $1,128,500 for 2018-19 financial year?
Thank you. I'll ask the General Manager to respond.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Excuse me. And I'm going from memory here. Harris Scarf, John Rod Piper Limited, Dalvert and Waste Management, Harcourt's Real Estate, Hudson's Coffee. There was an allocation in there in relation to, obviously, the food pavilion, which you've referred to previously. There's also the income from the Convention Centre, and I think there's another one that I've forgotten. But that's.
Would it be the council's $1 million that was in the budget?
No, it's not. As has been explained to you previously,
that's okay.
That was actually, it's not actually accounted for in the council budget process.
Yep. Yeah, it's a journal entry. Can I just ask, in all due respect, Harris Scarf and Tas Water are not part of stage one.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I didn't mention Tas Water.
Oh, well,
I mentioned Harris Scarf.
Harris Scarf is not part of stage one.
Certainly the buildings associated with Living City included the former Harvey Norman building, which was purchased by the council, which is now leased to Harris Scarf.
If I can just clarify for you, Madam Chair.
No, Mr. Gardam, I think you've had a fair run, and Mr. Vellacott did have a question that he's going to run out of time if I don't allow him to do that now. Thank you.
Now he's got 6 minutes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Gardam. Mr. Vellacott.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's carry on there. I've to change a little bit with how I've written this, but if it was a fact that Council did give the Providore Place a $250,000 rent reprieve, the fact that you could have informed the management of Providore Place that you would only consider the request for a rent reprieve if it was discussed in open council, or that you would make known publicly the decision made it was decided in a closed session of council? Could you have not done that if that was a fact that they did apply for a $250,000 rent?
Yes, we could have done. Thank you, Mr.
You Belcott. Could have done. Yes, okay.
Thank you.
But you're not allowed to tell me you did. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other questions? We'll move along. Thank you. Item 3.4.1 is a notice of motion. Alderman Jarman, you were declaring. Councillor Jarman declared a interest. Thank you. Councillor Perry.
So moved.
Just 1 second. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Perry. Do we have a seconder?
You do, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Lacock. Councillor Perry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In August of last year, the previous council unanimously voted, supported a motion, an identical motion to this one, exactly the same in every respect, apart from the fact that the silos that we're dealing with tonight are different to the silos we dealt with back in August. The silos back in August were the two concrete ones that Goliath Cement Company used. And we are having some logistical, or not we, the working group that's dealing with that came up with the idea of putting the murals and the pitches on the silos, are having at this time some logistical issues with that particular site. So they've since been in touch with Tasmanian Stock Feed Services, which own the yellow ones to the south of the concrete ones, who have been very, very cooperative and have advanced discussions way beyond than they had advanced with the previous company that owned, well, not the previous company, the Goliath Cement that owns the concrete silos. So essentially we're just, that other motion will still sit on the books, but clearly only one of these two sets of silos are going to be adorned with imagery and photos or murals or whatever it may be. These particular silos, since August, the working group has recruited a well-known local artist called Julian Bale from Sheffield, who has quite a lot to do with Sheffield murals and the Sheffield painting community in general. In fact, is highly regarded not only around Tasmania but across Australia. He's got to the point where he's been up on the silos, scoped them, measured them. We've had full support, or they've had full support from Tasmanian stock feeds. So I guess the intent of the motion tonight is that council give the same in-principle support to adorning these silos as they did to the previous concrete ones. Council has no exposure on this. There's nothing in this that will expose council to any cost or future maintenance or anything that will cost the ratepayers. It's merely endorsing in principle the idea that we get some colourful murals depicting the Devonport history on those particular silos, and we support in principle that happen. So it's identical to the August motion, so I hope we get unanimous support once again. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. I endorse Councillor Perry's motion. As he has stated, it is support in principle, it's all that's needed, no financial contribution from Council. And the committee's already had talks with the General Manager, other things they might be able to help us with. So that's very good. I'd just like to take this opportunity publicly to congratulate Taz, or Avalon Browning, he's known as Taz, for this idea. It is fantastic because it'll certainly help with tourism in the area. It'll tidy up an area down on our wharf. It'll have history. So it really is good to see that somebody, a member from the public, is putting their time, as Taz does, into the community. And so with Leon and I are on that committee, we're happy to give our support behind it. And I'm just hoping that my colleagues here tonight will see the sense in supporting this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Perry to close. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Lanson. I'd now like to announce that Council intends to act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act of 1993 for the consideration of Agenda Item 4.1. Council is required by regulation of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regs to deal with items as a planning authority under the LUPA in a sequential manner. The following item is to be dealt with. Item 4.1, which is PA2018.0185, a residential single dwelling and studio at 7 Charlotte Gardens. We have the recommendation there in front of us. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry, do I have a seconder?
So seconded.
Councillor Murphy. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. This is an interesting looking development and quite impressive, to be quite honest. It did receive a couple of representations from a neighbour, but I believe that Council's Planning Department has answered those concerns more than adequately. The stormwater issue, for example, will be in a better position because of this development, because the stormwater will need to be contained on the property, whereas as at the moment that's not the case. Privacy issues were raised with the neighbour to the east had a feeling that they were going to be sitting in facing full view of the building that's proposed to be constructed, when in fact that's not the case. There is a highlight window in a hallway at approximately 1.65 metres high, which is, I guess, it's a highlight window. People are going to stand there, look out the window and see what's going on down below. And it's in a passageway as well. And there was an issue raised on noise in the studio. It was going to be a hairdressing studio, not a musical studio. So I don't think that's going to happen. And Council has also made reference to the fact that the insulation in the new building will certainly take care of that as well. So it's a good looking development. I think that little part of town does need developing, and I trust the other councillors see it that way, and we get this approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Councillor Murphy.
I agree with Councillor Perry. It's a very smart design, and looking at the conditions that have been placed on it, I think it is more than going to meet the requirements of not only just the financial cost to the developer, but meet the requirements of the neighbours and surrounds.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman.
Thank you. I've just got a question, if I may, through you to perhaps Collie or Charlotte. Carolyn, sorry. Charlotte. You're not Charlotte, this is Charlotte Gardens. So about the acoustics insulation that you're suggesting, it's kind of like a recommendation. How strong is that word?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Well, it only benefits the occupants, so it's only a recommendation, but if I were them, I would go ahead with the insulation.
And so my question through that is, I think you're talking about the residential dwelling. Is it possible that we could ask them to look at the acoustics for the studio? Because I'm looking at the future. At the moment, it's going to be used, we know, as a hair salon, and that's fine. But we don't know what future use that could get. So I'm just wondering, is it possible that we could recommend that has insulation acoustic-wise? Because if that becomes a granny flat or a bedroom or another type of use that's still permitted, and we haven't recommended that it has acoustic insulation in it, we could have what the residents next door were worried about, that it being used as a real studio, music studio. So is there some way we could word it differently so that it recommends for both buildings?
We could recommend that.
Is that possible that we could put that in?
So just add. Do the mover and seconder have an issue with that?
Recommend part two, where it's got acoustic insulation and 13mm plasterboards to be installed in the walls and ceilings of all bedrooms. Could you also, if that was an issue, include and the proposed studio? Would that be...
I know there's double glazing throughout the house and 13mm plaster.
That's in the house, but not the studio. Right. It's the studio I'm worried about, that's all. There's nothing recommending anything for the studio.
Ms. Mill, did you have something to add?
Yes. Could we add that to the notes rather than a condition? Because I don't think we could... couldn't condition it, but we could put it as a note.
In the recommendation where you've used the word recommendation. That's the next page. Mm. Keep going. Next page.
I'm happy to include that as a note if you're asking where it's the move.
Yeah. Where is it?
It must be higher up.
Yeah. Sorry. There it is under that line.
Number two.
In regard to condition two.
In regard to condition two, it's recommended that appropriately installed building materials with suitable acoustic qualities be installed throughout the entire dwelling.
Yeah, it doesn't mention the studio.
And the proposed unit, or proposed studio.
Thank you.
The mover and second are happy with that change?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Jarman. Any other comments?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'm just thinking... extra work for the developer there, unfortunately. I mean, the neighbours there have got a railway line close by, which is noisy, let's face it. And I find a granny flat wouldn't make as much noise as a hairdressing salon. And the salons that I visited, I must admit, are not noisy. You can't hear them before you even walk in the door. So I'm sort of wondering what we're worrying about. We're sort of picking at straws here. But anyway, the mover and second are happy with it, and I'll go with it because I want the development to go ahead. Thank you.
And I think the clarification is, Ms. Milne has said, we can't specify it. We can recommend it. So in the end, it's the developer's choice. So thank you. Alderman Councillor Perry to close.
Thank you. Thank other councillors for their comments and their support, and hope it's supported when we vote. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 5.1, tender report for contract C20226, Parker and Ronald intersection. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Do I have a seconder?
Second.
Councillor Jarman. Councillor Laycock.
There's nothing to add there. It is a very busy for the two streets coming together there, and it'll keep it in line with the other streets that have got the roundabouts. People keep saying that we're the city with roundabouts, but they have saved a lot of accidents, and we certainly don't want to risk any lives. So, yes, awarding the contract to Civilscape's a good idea so we can move on and get this built. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman?
No, happy with that. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.2 is a report on the community consultation for the waterfront precinct, noting that it's just presenting it for information at this point.
So moved.
Councillor Jarman. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Ennis. Councillor Jarman.
Look, and I'm just wondering if I can ask a question in relation to this, because I'm really relieved that it's going back to a workshop for the moment, considering that there is a lot of community talk out there, which is great. That's what we want. We want them to be aware of what we're trying to do to the best of our ability. I'm just wondering if we can look at having another public forum at all before the workshop, if that was possible.
My view would be that would be a council decision further down the track.
Oh, after the workshop, do you mean?
Yep.
Okay, no problem. No, happy with it then. Thank you.
And it'd be considered then as part of what we're looking at. Councillor,
I have, if I may.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. And just one other question I have. On the website, this was only brought to my notice this morning. The draft that we have at the moment that people can access, I think is old, and it's not the one that we've just recently talked to at the architect who's going back to make changes. Bear with me. It still has the floating pontoon, it still has the boat harbour, and it still has the words including the marina, saying the marina is part of that. Yet other part of it we can go to doesn't say that.
Thank you. The general manager will sort that out tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Was there anything else at this stage? Councillor Ennis?
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Murphy?
Yes, Madam Mayor. With regards to the report, I'm just a tad concerned in relation to risk implications, where it states that the waterfront's a valued community asset and council will attract a high level of scrutiny regarding any potential development and risk significant reputational damage if community expectations are not met. My concern is the next paragraph, which states any significant redesign of the park could delay the commencement of the project beyond the current government. This could potentially place the federal government contribution at risk. And as I'm aware, to date, neither the deed has been signed by the Deputy Prime Minister nor by the Council at this stage. So my point is, it's almost like if we do not make a decision in the very near future, even though this states that we are at significant reputational damage if community expectations are not met, that there may not be too many opportunities for us to actually get this thing right, and I think it's important that we do.
I can't disagree with any of that. The risks are there for us to, for better or for worse. It's just putting it out there that we do. There are some risks either way. And, you know, you've stated them and they're in the report for us to consider as we're moving forward.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah, there are certainly risks. Yeah. Any other questions, comments? Councillor Jarman to close.
No, if I may.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It just reads that we realistically, any delay, and that's the concern I have. If we have a delay, and as Councillor Jarman has said, if we go back to a public forum, we are potentially looking at an election in May. Realistically, it's got to be held before the new Senate has to be in place before the 1st of July. So realistically, the time frame that we've got to get this right is being narrowed, and I think we need to take that into consideration.
Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Just a comment on that, I suppose. The federal government process, the announcement for the grant was made, I believe, back in around July last year, and it was based on the preliminary plans and the plans that have been developed in that Council had been working on over a period of 2 years. And so, therefore, the grant deed is based on that. What this comment is saying, a significant redesign of the park may require that grant to go back through a review process through the department. And it's only saying it may, because until we actually have the consultation, if there is a significant redesign, we'll need to go to the department and say that that is the outcome and what impact that that may have on the grant deed. It took, as I said, nearly 7 months, 6 months, to get the grant deed to the stage that is now on the Deputy Prime Minister's desk. Any of these processes, particularly when they are commitments through the election process, takes a long time to get through the departmental process to get to the stage where the grant deed is ready for signing. So the comment there is just raising the point that there is a risk that if there is a significant redesign to the park, that would require us to go back to the department and identify that it may have some implication in getting the grant deed finalised before the term of this government is finished. Grant deeds, there can be a process is that once you've got the grant deed in place, there are opportunities for us to go back subsequent to that and get approval for changes and those sort of things to occur. It's just this timing issue, and particularly as a result of the impending election, that there is that risk that's there, because the department will tell you, we were dealing with another grant just recently where it's in writing to us that if there's any delay in signing off on it, it could be impacted by the federal election that is programmed to occur this year.
Just to clarify, the grant wasn't an election promise though, was it?
Through you, Madam Chair, you're right. This one wasn't an election promise, but it was a commitment given, particularly it happened during the by-election, and there was some credit to the by-election that it was given to, but in fact it was as a result of the lobbying by Senator Martin, but equally he is part of the current government.
Thank you. No other questions? Comments? Alderman Jarman, Councillor Jarman to close. I was going well.
Let's try that. Okay, stay. Thank you. Look, I suppose we've been in this situation before, and I suppose to Councillor Murphy, we've had our election as well got in the way as well. And when those things happen, they can sometimes get extensions. So that's why they've showed us the risk implications. That's always the case. I just think that it would be great because it sounds this tells me we're listening and we know that the people out there want to be heard, and we need to just have another bit of consultation to make sure we're doing what the people want. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.3 is the receiving of a petition. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Do I have a seconder?
Seconder.
Thank you, Councillor Alexiou. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. It's simply, the motion is simply to receive and note the petition, and good on the residents for putting in their petition, and it'll go for consideration now, along with all the other footpaths. Unfortunately, it seems that there's a lot of footpaths needed doing that does need doing in Devonport, and the list is quite long, and this is already in, I think it's the five-year plan. I can't remember
it's
now what I read.
Yes,
thank you.
It's noted, but it's a long way down the track.
It is a long way down the track. But yes, I'm quite happy to move that motion that we received their request. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Councillor Alexiou.
Nothing further to add there.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Jarman.
Just a quick question. In the conclusion, it says there's currently 61 worth of 4.5 million projects ahead of this. But they're not all footpaths. It's a mixture of things in that list of 61.
Through you, Madam Chair. This is talking about footpaths, so we are looking at the footpaths.
There's 61 footpaths.
So there's 61 projects that are currently listed within the forward capital program worth about $4.5 million.
Okay. It's just a shame, I think, that, you know, these people have been wonderful in putting this petition together and they really want the footpath, and now they're going to wait for another 61 to be done before them because they're more priority. I understand that problem, but I think it's a shame to see that the people, again, are doing a wonderful thing and putting a petition up and trying to get it to be understood that they want it ASAP. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock, to close.
Thank you. I think It's a priority. That's, you know, with the others in front. It is a shame people have got away, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, doesn't it? So it is, at least it's brought to our attention, it's on the books, and we can just sit and wait now to see how we go. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against? I'll ask for a show of hands. Those in favour? Alderman Alexiou, Councillor Innes, Councillor Hollister, Councillor Laycock, Councillor Milburn, Councillor Murphy, Councillor Perry, Councillor Rockliffe, those against, Councillor Jarman, the motion's carried. Thank you. Moving on to item 5.4, the Living City loan. There is a recommendation. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Hollister. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. It's all in the report, and also we had a confidential attached report for ourselves to read. As per arrangements are with the ANZ Bank, and as they should be. I note the second last paragraph on page 127 says the construction loan balance is significantly less than the original facility of $39 million. The lower debt balance reflects savings realised in the project and additional equity contributed as a result of prudent cash management. So congratulations to the management team for getting us into that position, almost a $7 million saving on our original forecast, and interest rates are still well below what they could have been, and I think it's a great deal, and well done to everyone involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister.
Yes, I support the motion. It's good to see our financial things even looking further right out to the 10-year financial plan, that these things are in the order they should be.
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.5 is a review of 2018 Devonport Food and Wine Festival. Do I have a motion to receive the report, please?
I will.
Thank you, Councillor.
Second.
Councillor Jarman, was that you? Seconded? Thank you. Councillor Milburn.
Congratulations to the Devonport Food and Wine Group for putting on such a fantastic event for the last 8 or 9 years. It's really good to be promoting the local food and wine services that we have around and our farmers and producers. I think we are situated in Tasmania's food bowl, and the initiative really emphasises all our growers, producers, breweries, distillers, etc. And it's great to celebrate the region. So thank you, and it's good to see that it will continue.
Thank you, Councillor Milburn. Councillor Jarman?
I just dare anyone that says nothing happens in Devonport. It's a classic for people that say there's nothing ever happening around here. There's an amazing array of wonderful events, and look, congratulations to all those, the hard-working people that get these things up and running. It's just amazing, so very proud to be part of a team that does this. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Lacombe.
Thank you, Mayor. I will take the opportunity just to mention a couple of things as the chair of this committee, and that is that we are going to undertake a review this year. I noticed in the public consultation that some people, you know, thought, well, the highest percentage was 45% wanted to go to 2 weeks from 4 weeks. One of the reasons the committee decided to stay with 4 weeks to spread it out was financially for the people that wanted to attend events. That's the way it is this year anyway, and we're keeping it in October because you can survey people that are not completely up to scratch with, you know, what happens within that event. I must say, having the Paranapple this year to do the cooking demonstrations was absolutely fantastic, and I congratulate the staff on this committee for the work they did in that, because to sit there and look up the big screen and see the chefs cooking with children and for adults and that, you could be anywhere in the world in that conference room, and it was absolutely fabulous, and we're very excited about that. We can build on that for this year. We've had key events. One I've just mentioned, the chef demonstrations, and the Spring Festival in the Park was very successful. We'll be doing that again this year. But we're always mindful that we keep it for what people can afford, and that is free events for families to come along, some gold coin donations for others. This year we'll be lifting our game to make sure that we've got some more cooking demonstrations and classes, and working closer, of course, with the restaurants and the cafes that participate within that. But as I said, the staff did a great job again, and we will be reviewing our branding as well. So it's a great event, and events take time to mature, and it's coming through beautifully. So I thank everyone for their support.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. I'm assuming there's going to be a pavlova tasting again.
Absolutely, we look forward to your pavlova.
No, I like the tasting. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, support the previous speakers. I do note in the risk implications, and I'm not sure why, well, I know why it's in there, says, without adequate coordination and communication of all stakeholders in order to create a sense of unity and cohesion for the festival, council risks losing support, which is a little bit disconcerting, as it really is a fantastic event. There are a lot of food and wine businesses around Devonport that do support it, but I think it just makes the point that we need to stay ahead of the wave. And when I say we, I mean the council, the committee chaired by Councillor Laycock, and those businesses that are involved at the moment. So it is a fantastic event. Devonport's very proud of it, and I just make the point we need to stay ahead of the wave to keep it relevant. And also note there's some comment on branding or rebranding will make the brand, increasing its brand presence, which I guess falls into line with the comments I made at the very start. So just need to stay ahead of the wave and continue on, and good work for everyone involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Perry. Councillor Ennis.
Just got a question. Is there a limit on the amount of people that go in, can exhibit or be involved?
I might throw that to Councillor
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for your question.
No, we can have as many as the...
Oh, thank
Thanks,
you.
Councillor Milburn. we can have as many that want to be part of it. It's something that if a business decides, a cafe or restaurant, they're going to hold an event, whether they have a loss is up to them and whether they have a profit that's up to them. Council doesn't take any liability for that. But we do advertise and work with them. And we're looking more at doing more marketing in this current year for them. But, yeah, there's football clubs. Your football club can do something. Your soccer club can do something, as long as you're highlighting the wonderful food and it's fresh food on the northwest coast. So it's all good. I mean, when we started this, we had, you know, the rugby club at Don. They did the hungy with the food in the ground, and it was fabulous. So it changes each year. So we're always open to ideas. Even if you're not on the committee, please feel free to come along.
Thank you, Councillor Innes. Any other questions, comments? Councillor Milburn to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. We've actually had a little holiday. We haven't had any workshops or briefings since our last meeting. So item 6.2, the Mayor's Monthly Report. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please? Thank you, Councillor Hollister. Do I have a seconder?
You do, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock. Councillor Hollister.
It's all in the report.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Mayor, I'd just like to ask you about your... you attended the dinner for the Yacht Club after the Laser Championships. Were they happy with what happened? Because it certainly put a buzz around town.
They were absolutely blown away.
Fantastic.
The CEO of whatever the organisation is, please forgive me, said that he'd done presentations in outside cafes, on the beach, on riverfronts. He'd never done a presentation for their Oceania Australia Championships in a venue like ours. So it was pretty cool to be the mayor and be up there. They had about 260 for the dinner, including family and friends. Of course, there were many young people, mm-hmm. And so lots of family and friends. They estimate $5.5 million into our economy in that week. And of course, quite a few of the local service clubs benefited as well, yes, because they catered over at the Yacht Club. So, you know, really congratulations to the Yacht Club for biting the bullet and taking on the opportunity, and it was great for us to be able to partner with them to do that. So, I think they were very pleased, and there's some amazing footage on their website of the sailing out in Bass Strait. It's just amazing. They disappear in waves. So if you get the chance, have a look at it, because there's these young people on these tiny little sailboats who are out there sailing furiously.
Going out.
It was a great event, and again, congratulations to the Yacht Club for that. And again, a community organisation who took on a fairly big task.
It was a big task, and it was great for us to be able to showcase our city and our Parramatta Apple Centre, wasn't it? Thank
yes,
you.
It was. Thank you. Councillor Ennis.
Could I just suggest that some of that, the links put on the council website, or are they already?
I don't think they are yet. I certainly have the option to email them, and they've offered it to us free. So
yep,
I think
I reckon
it would
be a good idea.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. No other questions? Councillor Hollister to close. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.2 is the general 6.3. I beg your pardon. Is the general manager's report? Do I have a mover of the recommendation? Councillor Hollister. Do I have a seconder, please?
Seconder.
Councillor Milburn. Thank you, Councillor Hollister.
It's obviously been as busy.
Thank you, Councillor Milburn.
Thanks to the general manager. Report together, and nothing more to add.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Oh, sorry, nothing to add, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman?
Just good to see that the smoke-free zone was so well received on the Facebook page and so many people contributed, and it just shows that we're so on the right track there. So congratulations to all involved, because it's good to see. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy? Good? Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Hollister to close. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7 is Section 23 Committees. Item 7.1, Governance, Finance and Community Services Committee meeting. The minutes of that meeting on the 21st of January. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Jarman, do I have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Councillor Alexio. Councillor Jarman?
Yeah, we've been pretty busy for the first meeting of the year, so that was good, and good to see it all getting through. Thank you.
Councillor Alexio?
Nothing more to add.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. That being the case, I will ask for a motion to move into closed session, please. Yes, Councillor Perry, Councillor Laycock. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, everyone in the public gallery. See you next time. Meeting closed at 6:36. Thank you.